good morning, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us for our Tallahassee Tours of our weekly Zoom meeting.
This meeting is being recorded.
Here at Southern Hills, outside. We are in the dog days of summer. Definitely the dog days. So again, housekeeping, y'all know the drill. Please mute your microphone in the lower left. Again, with so many people in the meeting, it's imperative so everybody can hear. So again, please mute your microphone, and then when you wish to speak, unmute it. And it really helps eliminate the background noise. So again, thank you very much for making time to be with us today, especially because certainly as an industry and as a community, we know we're in this together. Certainly when COVID hit, we all fell together, and we will get through this together, and we will soon rise together. There will be brighter days ahead, no doubt, but we're in a very challenging time right now for our community, state, and nation. Global cases of COVID-19 are now 17 million, with nearly 700,000 deaths globally. Here in the U.S., more than half of the states are now considered red zones. Nationally, there are nearly 4.5 million COVID cases. And the U.S. death toll is about 150,000. So again, it's a critical time in the pandemic. It's certainly a human crisis as much as it is an economic crisis. So on the national level, Monday evening, Senate released their health, economic assistance, liability protection, and schools act, otherwise known as HEALS. So it's Health, Economic Assistance, Liability Protection, and Schools, is the HEALS Act. That's the Senate's kind of opening bid for negotiations on the House for a phase four coronavirus relief package. Really, this HEALS Act focuses on kids and jobs and healthcare. Key components are the $1 bill that includes direct funding to support the reopening of schools, enhanced COVID-19 testing and contact tracing, a second round of direct stimulus payments, and an extension of the payback protection program, again, which we know is so vital to so many people here in our community and certainly around the state. So again, I'm at the national level again yesterday. One of the first, actually, I guess this was Monday, the first large studies of a coronavirus vaccine in the U.S. went underway. The study is a phase three clinical trial that will enroll 30,000 healthy people in about 89 sites around the country. There are numerous ones here in Florida. More than 165 coronavirus vaccines are currently under development. I'll say that 165 vaccines are currently under development, but five are in the large-scale testing range right now. Of course, the U.S. Leading public health expert, Dr. Anthony Fauci, said there may be a vaccine by November or even October. So fingers crossed on that. That could be very exciting. Again, something we all desperately need. Again, but there is a lot of efforts in that front to get a vaccine for the coronavirus. In Florida, there are now or have been 442,000 positive cases in Florida. Again, we're approaching the 450,000 mark as of yesterday morning. More than 6,000 here in Florida. There were 186 deaths yesterday, making it the highest day death toll announced by the Florida Department of Health since the start of the pandemic. Again, it's a very scary time, and we all know Florida is an epicenter, so all of us must work to help stem this tide. Continuing at the state level, I reported last week that the Florida High School Athletic Association, their board of directors, voted to break from other high school sports governing bodies around the country by allowing fall practices to begin July 27th, which, as we all know, was Monday.
It's fine. It's unbleached.
Clearly, they got a lot of blowback, and word met again. I do want to ask everybody to please mute your line. Again, when you wish to speak, unmute it, but again, just to help reduce some of the background noises. So again, as of right now, they did postpone the official start date for sports practices now till August 4th. So again, with the start of practice 24th, that means no competitions in high school sports can begin before September 7th. FHSAA is currently developing alternate plans for fall sports and certainly the championship events, which impact us. So again, the board will meet on August 10th to approve the final plans going forward for the fall sports season. This impacts us here locally because we are scheduled to host the FHSAA state championships for both cross country and the divisions 1A through 3A football this fall. So again, we are certainly keeping a close eye on that. Locally, according to the Florida Department of Health, there are now, or have been, there's 3,900 positive cases here in Tallahassee and Leon County. So again, we're approaching the 4,000 mark here locally in our community of COVID-19 cases. Documented new cases and positive cases are increasing right now. So locally, there's about 80% in our two main hospitals. About 25% of those folks are in ICU. Again, really take care of yourselves, your coworkers, your staff, your family. Be sure you're wearing your masks and be sure to thank a healthcare worker because, again, they are on the front lines in our community. So, again, we've all got to do our part to continue wearing those masks. We all know it's not too much to mask. So, sharing a few other updates, we have a tropical storm that'll be entering into the Caribbean in the next couple of days. And there's an unusually high degree of uncertainty with this system. It has kind of bobbled around. There's mountains. So the next day or so will really determine its path. So we've got to keep an eye on this one. It's an unusual name. Isaias, I think is how it's pronounced. Got to keep an eye on that. Hurricane season is definitely gearing up for its most active time of year. We all know that. And certainly, you know, watching the weather last night, the tropical systems are lining up off the coast of Africa like the drive-through line at Chick-fil-A at lunchtime. There's a lot of storms that are in the pipeline, and it's like a bowling alley. I mean, these storms traverse across the Atlantic, and they go into the Caribbean and often run into the Gulf of Mexico, and that's obviously where it's the biggest concern for us, but certainly all of Florida this time of year. So now's the time to prepare for your family, your business. Don't wait. Start preparing today because it is. Justice wherever it exists. So in this moment in time, always remember that you can make a difference. So let change begin today. Again, and thank you for all y'all for continuing the conversations and the dialogue in our community. It's critically important, again, to stand against discrimination in any form and wherever it exists. Also, please keep in mind that all restaurants, bars, craft breweries, small businesses, nonprofits, so many of our local businesses are struggling. They're continuing to struggle. So again, please consider shopping local, do restaurant takeout or curbside. Always try to buy local when you can. Buy some beer from our breweries and do what you can to support the local businesses right now. Again, so many in our community, so many businesses are struggling. So in this ever-evolving COVID pandemic, we are all learning every week. And these weekly industry meetings are really about bringing us all together to share learning, to share knowledge, and to share support for each other and for our community and for our industry. we're stronger together, and together we will get through this. So as we do every week, we have several outstanding guest speakers that are with us today. And then we're going to open up the meeting to hear from you all. So first on deck this morning will be Mark Xenophone. He is the general manager of Hotel Indigo, the brand new beautiful property that we've all been watching coming up in College Town. So again, really, really exciting. We're going to hear more from him on that. They broke ground in 2017, and it's certainly our newest boutique hotel. It features 7 stories, 143 rooms, a ground level restaurant, and 3,000 feet of meeting space. So yay! So we're really excited. We'll be hearing from Mark. Then next, we will be hearing from Daryl Jones. He is the deputy director. The Tallahassee Land Kind of Minority Women and Small Business Enterprise Program with the Office of Economic Vitality. As a deputy director of the OEV's Minority Women and Small Business, the MWSBE, is it to say again, at Minority Women Small Business Enterprise, Daryl is committed to enhancing business relationships and contracting opportunities for certified minority women and small
businesses. It wasn't. I don't know how to work.
In the county government. I do want to remind everybody to please mute your line again so everybody can hear. Again, our guest speakers, please mute your line if you're not speaking. Again, Daryl has been, he works for both the city and county government projects, again, trying to build relationships and contracting opportunities for these vendors. He's also a member of the Leon County School Board, and I'm not sure where he finds the time to do all these great things in the community, but we sure are grateful for all that he does. So we're going to be hearing from Daryl Jones here in just a minute, and then last and certainly not least, we're going to be hearing from Russell Dawes, the president and CEO of the Tallahassee Museum, who has directed that organization since 1990. He returns as a guest speaker to discuss the measures and kind of the program's updates at the Tallahassee Museum, particularly the Swamp Stomp. That's an annual fundraising event that they held earlier this month. And it was the first kind of outdoor live music event held at the museum since the COVID-19 pandemic. And it was conducted following all the CDC guidelines and social distancing. So we're gonna hear from him on that program. So we're going to start off with Mark. Then we're going to turn it over to Daryl and then turn it over to Russell to bring it on home. So with that, Mark, again, thank you so much for being with us. And we're so glad that you're here and can't wait to hear more and to see and experience the Hotel Indigo. So thank you so much for being with us.
No, thank you so much, Carrie. And thank you, everybody, for giving me the time to speak. We're obviously very excited about the project. I've been on since November of 2019, obviously before COVID, and we were originally scheduled to open in March, had a few construction delays, which was pushing us to the end of April, beginning of May, hoping to get into graduation. And then obviously we got into COVID. Honestly, I think we were pretty fortunate not to have opened right before that. You know, we saw a lot of our fellow industry members having to have tough decisions with staff and those kind of things. Our management company and ownership group, you know, said, hey, we'll keep everybody on. So I didn't have to go through that. You know, we put on our construction boots, a little bit different than what we were used to, but we were able to pitch in and help out and move through. And it's hard to believe that we're almost here. So we are opening on August 3rd for a soft opening for a few days. Taking online and standard reservations on August 6th. I'm going to share my screen. I've got a few shots of what we've got going on of the hotel. And well, let me do that, but we'll get going there. Just kidding. It won't let me.
Beyonce there. So we can share
the screen. There we go. Got it. Okay. Can everybody see that?
Yeah, we can. Thanks, Mark. Okay.
Perfect. So again, the Hotel Indigo brand was a little bit unique to me. And what I've seen, and that's really what drew me in. They did not want to be The same everywhere. Every Hotel Indigo is different. We started in 2004 in Atlanta, and they go into each neighborhood, each community prior to development, design, planning, and really get a sense of what's around the community and what's around the area that you're going to be constructing in and operating in. And then they tailor it around there. So this was kind of the bubble that they put together for us, for Tallahassee. Obviously, we're near the old railroad station. We're on near Cascades Park. We have a railroad square with a great art community right around us. So they wanted to really involve all of those aspects into our property. And we have a neighborhood story for our property, as every Hotel Indigo does. And it speaks to the community that's right around us, the underwater caverns that run from Cascades Park to Wakulla, the old train station, and why Tallahassee is the capital of the state, and how that evolved into Tallahassee and where we are. So I've got some slides here just showing some photos. Like I said, we are so excited to be opening up and getting ready. It's been feels like a long time coming. And it's, again, you know, we feel fortunate that we're opening right now, quite honestly, because we are able to train our staff in all of COVID-19 protocols and procedures. We have no bad habits. We have no real big changes that we have to make on the fly, as the rest of the industry has done. And the industry as a whole, I feel like, has done a great job of responding. We've gotten great support from not only the IHG brand, but also management company and our owners group. In being able to combat that. So this is a first photo of our king bedroom here, high ceilings. It's clean, modern. We've got some of that rustic industrial look there. Double bedroom, double queen beds. This is one of our junior suites. And yes, we have suites that look at Dope Campbell Stadium. So we'll have those selling out pretty quickly. This would be one of those, and I'll show you an image a little bit later showing our view. But one of the nice things too about our property is that we have quite a few ADA rooms, ADA compliant. So, you know, we see that a lot of older hotels and hotels that, have been from a smaller brand haven't really hit that niche and accommodated those guests. And we have some fantastic rooms. My favorite room in this whole property is our ADA presidential suite. It is unbelievable. You're looking right downtown with a wall of windows. We have a very large fitness center. Obviously we didn't have a pool, so we wanted to make sure that we had a great fitness center to accommodate our guests, get a great workout in, as it's important for everybody who's on the road and traveling to keep up their routines. As Carrie said, we've got 3,000 square feet of meeting space. This is our main ballroom, which I'm sitting in right now. It can be split into two separate rooms. And then we also have a permanent boardroom on the first floor, which is this photo here. So good meeting space. Lucy Mann is our director of sales. And I know a lot of you know Miss Lucy, and we're happy to have her with us. And we're just going to bring everybody in that we can. So anybody who wants to come in, please come visit us. Like I said, we're doing some tours right now. And this is our seventh floor patio view of the stadium. So it doesn't get too much better than that in terms of the location. And this is on the same level as our meeting space. So we've got something great to work with here, and we're excited to be involved in the community. Part of our investment group is some FSU boosters and some people who graduated from FSU and who have been around the local community. So they've given us a great leeway to continue that and be involved in the community. So we're happy to be able to do that. We also are introducing our full service bar and restaurant called R&R Eatery. We partnered with a group down south, coming up with the menu from scratch items. I got to taste them for the first time yesterday, and man, they are good. I'm a little bit biased, but they are very good. So we're excited to do that. We've got a great, great bar, great atmosphere right on Gaines Street. So we're looking forward to that and a patio area. And part of that too, I wanted to hit on, COVID and the IHG response. I listened to Bo speak yesterday in our Rotary group regarding the Hilton response, and And I feel like, you know, all of the properties and brands have done a nice job responding to it and adapting. But, you know, as far as cleanliness goes, we've always been at a high level, and these brands have been. So it's more about awareness and accountability that's been a great response. So this is our bar, and right on Gain Street, looking right out to the Gain Street area. And we'll have this open right as we open. Restaurant area. Now this is COVID seating, so it's 6 feet apart. So we've got about 160 seats normally, so we've cut that down for COVID, obviously. But we're excited about that. And you can see our railroad theme there with the old Seaboard Coastline container there. Just a, you know, quick couple images that we had from the other day from our first few items tasting. One of the big things about the Indigo brand, like I said, we wanted to be involved in the community. So we are required to partner with local vendors to facilitate our food menu, facilitate our marketplace. So we partnered with Proof and Lucky Goat on our food menu. We've got Bradley's Sausage. We've got Sweetgrass Dairy. And then also Orchard Pond is throwing a couple items at us. So we are, we're always looking for new vendors. Our marketplace, I can't remember the name off the top of my head, but I had some amazing peanut brittle that was a spicy peanut brittle that we got from the Frenchtown Market 2 days ago, and they're going to be selling in our marketplace. So, like I said, we're excited to be a part of the community and be here. And we are ready for everybody to come see us. You know, we're excited to be opening up and be available to the community and those coming to Tallahassee.
Thank you, Mark. That is so, so exciting. Again, what a great property to come into our market, and what a great leadership team it has with Mark, with you and Lucy and the team. And I know, again, longstanding, both y'all and longstanding leaders in our community. So again, we are so very, very excited about the Hotel Indigo property opening up next week. Wow, opening, that's so exciting. I know a lot of my team went there for a walkthrough and were just blown away. And certainly just seeing the pictures that you shared today, again, just excellent. Love the tying in with the history and the arts and the nature and all that. So I can't wait to see it myself. And again, congratulations on all the work getting it to this point, to the opening. But yay, at last. So does anybody have any questions for Mark? Okay, well, hearing none, you know where he is? Paul, have a meeting there, you know, at least go have a drink there, go check it out. So again, Mark, thank you so much. You and Lucy, really appreciate you and all you do for our community. Again, really appreciate you and your team. So next we hear from Daryl Jones. We are so excited and grateful that you're with us. Again, I don't know how you do it as busy as you are, and you are such a true blessing for this community. So Daryl, thank you so much for being with us this morning.
Thank you. I'm between a rock and a hard place. I don't want to come behind Mark and that fabulous and beautiful presentation he just made. And then I've got our resident museum guru coming behind me. And so here I come with my boring narrative slides with no pictures. And we've got great hotels on one end, zip lining and natural features and animals on the other end, and right here in the middle am I. So thanks, Carrie.
Well, we're here to connect to all of our minority businesses, to the hotels and to the museums and the artists. So I know you can do it. I know it's important that people hear about your program and how everybody on the call in their businesses can do what they can to work with, you know, minority women and small businesses.
And I do thank you for this special opportunity, and we are excited about our program. As you may know, as Deputy Director of the Office of Economic Vitality here a few years ago, our city, county, and blueprint agency and its leadership created the Office of Economic Vitality by harnessing the 1 cent sales tax revenues that are generated by our community and devoted 12% of those dollars to economic development. And critical to that was also our community putting a major priority on what we define as economic inclusion. And to that end, we made the former minority women and small businesses offices for the city and the county were consolidated under the Office of Economic Vitality. And I'm real honored and humbled to be its deputy director, working with a fine team of professionals who have combined with them more than three decades of experience in supplier diversity. And what makes it really, really important in the context of tourism is that we realize as we manage monies that we use to spur economic development, one of our principal methods by which we spur economic development and create new jobs is by being able to make our beloved Tallahassee and Leon County a hub for tourism. And to that end, as we've set priorities for our community in terms of projects to include the expansion of the airport and other projects that we have presently under consideration, tourism is a major and important part of it. And we're also grateful for what has been a worthwhile symbiotic relationship, mutually collaborative and mutually beneficial between our office and the Office of Tourism. So again, thanks, Kerry, for this opportunity. If I can now share my screen, where is it? Oh, there it is. All right, there I am. I want to talk with you about what is our recent new consolidated policy. Like I explained, we've taken the former city office, the former county office, and now we've combined those offices to serve both the city, the county, and the blueprint. Now, what makes that important for our business community is that we now no longer have three disparate programs with disparate goals and disparate regulations. Now we're all singing from the same sheet of music. And to that end, following a disparity study that helps to legally legitimize our racial and gender specific aspirational targets, also a part of that, we wanted to make certain that our new policy would help to spur business, help to create jobs, and be an enormous benefit to our local economy. In more tangible ways, particularly as related to job creation. So let me go to a couple of highlights. One of the things that we knew was important, we wanted to make certain that we were able to help to spur greater opportunity for small and locally owned businesses, right? And so to that end, one of the things that we are doing is that we are reserving and what we're called unbundling projects. One, we're reserving projects of less than $150,000 that come from either the city, the county, or Blueprint, so that smaller firms won't have to compete against larger firms. We realize that smaller firms are really a great and an important economic engine in our community. And so here now, through without either race or gender preferences, our small business reserved projects are intended that local businesses can compete. The more of those projects we're able to create and reserve for small businesses, the more jobs that they can consistently create, and that's a boon for us. Then when we do the unbundling of projects, say for example, if there were any municipal contributions to a project like Mark's that he's just described, either from the CRA or through some other municipal interaction from the Blueprint or some other local government source of funding, we would then obligate that project to meet our aspirational targets. And a part of that could possibly be unbundling, and that would mean that we'd reserve smaller projects again to create opportunity for smaller businesses. Also, we want to have capacity building opportunities for our local businesses through mentor-protege relationships, helping our businesses to grow. For example, Say, if I have a local carpentry business, that I would have opportunity to perhaps be mentored by Ajax Construction. Here, a larger firm would give me opportunity to see the larger global picture of the completion of a major project so that my business can also help to expand. Another consideration is that we've also included apprentice and externship opportunities as a part of our projects. As you know, the Lively Vocational Technical College, Tallahassee Community College, we wanted our projects, our municipal, county, and blueprint projects to be an opportunity for those students or those persons enrolled to be able to earn their certification hours. Carrie introduced me as a school board member. What I would love to see is that a young person who is duly enrolled in high school would then have opportunities to get an externship with one of our projects so that when they graduate high school, they'll be armed with both their diploma and armed with their certification in that particular industry. And these new policies are intended to facilitate that. So in a nutshell, this is what most people are most concerned about, most interested in, and that is the goals that we associate with our projects. As you can imagine, the greatest amount of opportunity for minority and women-owned businesses is found in construction subcontracting, where we set a goal of 14% for MBEs, for minority-owned businesses, and 9% for women-owned businesses. And what that means is, for any business that anybody who does, any vendor who responds to any of our projects with the city, the county, or blueprint, depending upon the nature of it, if it is architecture and engineering project, if it's the auditing services for the city or the county and professional services, or other services like landscaping, for whichever the category is, we would want there to be this level of utilization of minority firms and women-owned business firms. Again, this goes back to what we talk about, economic inclusion. Here that with these goals and targets, we can ensure or help to facilitate greater utilization of these locally owned, minority-owned firms and women-owned firms, and their participation can help to create more jobs for people in our community, and that's why this program is so important. Let me just give you some final highlights. Our office has been very, very proud of what our engagement during this pandemic. I also want to thank Carrie again. Carrie is a part of our economic reopening task force, and I can tell you, if you were a fly on the wall, you would know how very important her conversations have been as we've talked about the impacts of COVID on our local industry. And she has been a great partner in helping us to facilitate what we know have been some important and impactful recovery projects and dollars and opportunities that have been made available for our local businesses. She has been a fantastic ombudsman and ambassador on behalf of your industry. To that end, it has been with her influence and others, OEB just recently finished a drive where we were distributing free reusable face coverings on behalf of Leon County. Again, also in cooperation with her office. Also, please, if you go to our website, we also can give you provide listings of additional opportunities for businesses who still require PPE for their successful operations and successful openings. And the Paycheck Protection Program is still open. Carrie, I think it's still what, August 8th?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so for those businesses who may be on the line who require that, or on behalf of the businesses that you represent, please know that that is still available. If you go to our website, we can provide you linkages to it. So finally, we're real proud of what we're doing. Thank you again, Carrie, for this opportunity to share with your constituents. Ours is one of the largest MWSBE programs in the state of Florida. We're also special in that we are one of only two, I believe the other is Hillsborough County, where the MWSBE program is a part of its local EDO. We realize this community, our city and county commission, and our IA board of directors have put a premium on economic inclusion, and that is why the MWSBE division is such an integral part of what we fashion is our important work as the economic development organization for our local community. And key to that is our MWSBE division. We want to make certain that our MWSBE policy provides wonderful tools for our local, our small, our minority, and our women-owned businesses collectively and individually as specific targeted industries or firms in our local community. And we do our part to help facilitate their utilization of our policy to create more opportunity for them and to create jobs. I'd also be remiss if I did not mention the fact that we do not do this work alone. We work in cooperation with other business development organizations like the FAMU, Small Business Development Center, the Jim Moran Institute, certainly our local Career Source, who helps to facilitate relationships with them and our local firms in an effort for them to not only just expand their businesses, but to retain more local businesses. And it could not be at a better, more critical time than right now, as businesses are in the throes of dealing with our pandemic. So if you want to know more information about us, please come to our website. If you want to certify, please come to our website. And if you want to find out about any other resources that we can help to facilitate for you and your firms or the firms that you represent, again, feel free to go to our website, and you can always call me directly. And again, I'm delighted to be here with you, and I'm Daryl Jones, Deputy Director for the Office of Economic Vitality.
Great, Daryl. Thank you so much. Really appreciate you being with us and sharing this information. And it is critically important what you do, and again, you do a tremendous job, and I know with all the partners, but truly through your leadership through that office. And I do think it's important, as we talk on, I mean, every week on this call, that, you know, when COVID hit, I mean, we're all as a community, we're in this together. And so certainly we fell together, we're going to get through this together, and we'll rise together. So it's important for everyone to know it's not just local government, but really for all businesses in the community to be intentional about selecting, you know, minority and women-owned businesses in our community, again, so we all rise together. It couldn't be more important. I mean, it's always important, but especially with COVID-19, again, as those smaller businesses are struggling. So Daryl can, you know, be happy to share information and certainly list up some of the vendors if you're looking for different vendors. Again, it's, yes, you serve government, but really for all businesses here locally, to please keep that in mind about what you can do in your businesses to support minority-owned and women-owned businesses in our community. And Daryl is a tremendous resource for that. So again, Daryl, does anybody have any questions for Daryl?
Thank you, Carrie.
I actually do have a question for Mr. Jones. A major priority for American museums and the Tallahassee Museum are issues of diversity, accessibility, and equity. If I, as a museum director, am wanting to hire a caterer, landscaper, any outside business to assist me in my operations, is there a place I can go to that's categorized by business types where I can find minority or women businesses so that I can reach out to them for the needs of the museum?
Well, yes, our office can be a resource for that for you, Mr. Dawes. We have on our website, you can search our directory that will also list firms, right? And then I would be remiss if I did not, and I failed to have done so, to acknowledge all three of our chambers. All three of our chambers have directories that provide that same type of information. Our Greater Tallahassee Chamber of Commerce, our Big Bend Minority Chamber of Commerce, and our Capital City Chamber of Commerce, and all of whom have the diversity of membership of both minority and women-owned businesses and can be a resource to you as well. I think that my office only has those businesses who choose to certify with us, but I believe that working through the chambers, you'll find certainly a far more comprehensive list, because the ones who certify with us are the ones who more than likely have certified with intentionality of serving any one of our three jurisdictions. But the chambers are certainly an even better resource.
Thank you very much.
Yes, sir.
Sounds like you've got a couple of options. You got Daryl's office and the three chambers. So great. That's great information. Thank you so much. Anybody else have any other questions for Daryl? Again, thank you so much for your leadership and your service to our community, not just with this program, but on the school board. So we're very, very grateful to you. Thank you so much for being with us this morning, Daryl. Thank you for your leadership.
Thank you, ma'am.
Okay, thank you. And last but certainly not least, we've got Russell Dawes from the Tallahassee Museum. Welcome again to the return engagement. Happy to be back. And again, appreciate you being here.
Thank you, Carrie, and it's a pleasure to be back with my colleagues in tourism. Similar to what Daryl said, it's tough to follow Mark and Daryl and all the good things they do. Tallahassee Museum is operating smoothly. The majority of our historic buildings and contemporary buildings are still closed, but we are seeing visitors every day, both to visit the museum as well as doing our Tallahassee Tree to Tree Adventures. What's really wonderful is the kind of feedback that we are getting, and probably many of you are getting, the valuable role we're playing to our community for places of respite and escape from the challenges we all face. Carrie had asked me to talk a little bit about our annual Swamp Stomp. We held that earlier this month. It's something we've been doing for probably close to 40 some years, where we feature all of our regional singers and songwriters. We're always pleased that they donate all of their services to help support the museum. And when we knew with COVID that the event was coming up on us, we weren't sure that we were going to be able to do it. And we put our heads together. I've got a wonderful team of staff here. And we started asking, can we do a music event with proper social distancing to ensure the safety of our musicians, our staff, and our visitors? And we took a shot at it. Working with our facility crew, we went out to our seating areas. We had measuring sticks, we had red tape, so we marked off places on our seats where people could sit, where they couldn't. In some cases, we could seat four people in an area, other places, one person. We had picnic tables we did the similar situation with. Once we had done that, we then did a count. How many people can we safely accommodate within this stage area? And we established a cap. We knew that we could host at any one time 400 people safely. We started promoting the fact that we wanted people to buy their tickets online in advance so that we had a better way of assessing what the crowd would be. We alerted people to the fact that if you don't have an advance ticket and you show up at the door and our spaces are full, you may be turned away. We also knew that with aerosols from our singing musicians, that there could be a problem. So we established a clear zone in front of the stage so that as they sang, nobody was too close to absorb any aerosols. Del Suggs, who is a wonderful musician in himself, as well as a music producer, has always put on Swamp Stomp, always has more musicians that want to play than we can accommodate, but he put it together so that most of our acts were either solo artists or duets. We didn't have any bands of eight people so that they could be safe. We had ushers. We asked people as they came to the stage area to form a socially distanced line while our ushers could escort them to their seats. And our ushers could also assess how many were in a group. So if we had a group of four, we knew a place to take them. Some people brought their own lawn chairs or blankets, and we knew where we could accommodate them socially distance. And I have to say, the event was a big success. You know, we needed to have our visitors complying with our requests. They were wonderful. They were understanding. The musicians were amazed. Many of them are unemployed. I mean, many of them have not played since March. So they were so excited to be able to play in front of an audience again. Now, everything went smoothly. No dangerous situations arose. We didn't have any angry visitors. But I will say that the attendance for the event was not what it normally is. It was probably about half of what our normal event is. And frankly, to be honest, that was probably good. It would have been more challenging had we had our normal turnout. And we're sort of seeing that with the museum. There's sort of a self-monitored number of people. We're not getting 3,000 people showing up in a day. As much as from a revenue perspective, I wish that were a case. But just like you, we're all trying to keep our heads above water. And so far, we're managing not to be one of the 30% of museums that are projected to close this year. That's the sad part. Many of our restaurant partners know the same thing, that we already know about five museums and museum in Florida have permanently closed. Just learned of a new one yesterday in Sanibel. So we hope not to be one of those 30%, doing everything we can to stay afloat and provide our community with our educational and cultural benefits, and certainly to keep bringing in tourists to Leon County and contribute to our economic impact. I think that's about all I need to share.
Thank you. That's, again, really appreciate that, because, again, that really was a, you know, museums thankfully aren't able to operate, but again, they've got to follow the guidelines of the CDC and all that. So to do that, and having been to a Swamp Stomp previously, I know how popular they are and how, I mean, it's just everybody having a great time and your budget packed in. So I'm trying to in my head, and so thank you for what kind of walking through how that, because yes, it's on a big piece of land, you know, so you've got the, you're outside, you've got the space, but like you said, how do you manage not just the ticket sales, but the seating and, you know, and all that, and still providing a for a great and safe experience. So again, this was, I think that what you've shared was very instructive to a lot of folks even contemplating in their business, you know, things like that. Again, I know the museums are, you know, have a little different, particularly your museum being, you know, large part of it is outdoors. So everybody has their own unique nuances, but I really appreciate you sharing that. Because certainly, I mean, as I referenced earlier, even on sports, with some of the events that we have scheduled, you know, how do you handle groups safely? You know, until there is a vaccine. So again, this was very, very insightful. So Russell, I appreciate that. Anything else coming up at the museum that we need to would be good to share? Anything, any other events happening?
Things are gonna be pretty much quiet from the event side for the rest of the summer. We're really concerned about our fall. It looks like we're going to have to cancel our Jubilee event. Our Halloween event, we probably are tipping one way or the other on market days, and we're in our budget preparation process. We're working on it, but at this point, we're still about $600,000 in the hole moving forward in next year. So we've been very fortunate. Our donors and members are stepping up. But we'll probably have to close down our early childhood program that's been in operation for over 45 years. Was one of the first museum early childhood programs in the country. But we can't hire staff right now. We can't get students into the program. So it may have seen the end of its lifestyle, but hopefully the museum hasn't.
Thank you. Yeah, Tom, I know as every organization and business and is going through is the budget, you know, reductions. We're all feeling, everyone is feeling it, no question, and having to make some very difficult choices. And
yeah, we're really hoping there's a new PPP coming out. I have to compliment the state of Florida. Their grant support has held strong. So there are silver linings to every dark cloud.
Indeed, there are. But the HEALS Act, the new HEALS Act, who knows how long it's going to take before it gets, you know, both sides on the same page and, you know, it's signed into. But that continues the PPP. So again, for another round of that, which I know will make a big difference for organizations. It's been a critically important program. And OEB, I know, has played a big part in offering and coordinating awareness of that program and others coming down from the federal government and state government. So again, keep in mind, again, OEB is always a resource too, but I certainly understand, you know, what you're going through. And again, all of us in doing our budgets for next year are having to make some painful reductions to be sure. Again, I appreciate your candidness. And again, for all of us, we're all in this together. Everybody is feeling pain, no doubt. And again, so what can we do to help each other and support each other? So like I said, go to the museum, take your family, go to the museum on the weekend, you know, go there, any, you know, museum, make the rounds, again, go to restaurants, buy some beer, support our craft brewers, you know, go have a drink at the hotel and to go, you know, kind of do your curbside takeout and stuff like that, whatever anybody's able to do to help our community partners. That's what, you know, we really need to stick together to do this time. At this point in the pandemic. So with that, I'll pause and just open it up. Does anybody else have any other comments, questions they want to share, any updates for the good of the order, any other news or updates?
Siri, I do. This is Kathleen Akoka.
Hey, Kathleen.
Good morning, everybody. It's really great to see all of you. Just a couple things. I just wanted to make sure that in the kind of a visual art world that we have some online galleries, so the gallery at the airport and the gallery at the City Hall are both online now. And so all of our exhibits coming up, like our current one, Creative Tallahassee, is online. City Hall will not be, we won't be having live exhibits there, but everything there will be online, and then the airport, we're going to be both having in person or live and online galleries. So I just wanted to make everybody aware of that. I'm going to put a little let me put this this link in the chat. So Russell, compliments to you for what you were able to do with lemonade out of lemons. So that was really, really fantastic. And so anyone else that's in the lemonade business these days, if you have an event that you're trying, if you've got a venue that you're making more COVID-friendly, we have a COVID-friendly place on our website, so and in our calendar, and it's distributed to over 20,000 people a week. So just go ahead and work with us if you need any help with that, but put your events there. If you've got a COVID-friendly venue, go ahead and put that on there, and we'll do the best we can to make sure we get the word out to everybody.
Great. Thanks, Kathleen. Appreciate that. Also, want to let everybody know, too, that our grant cycle is open for tourism grants. We are, again, in the hopes and anticipation that things, you know, grants that the COVID and, again, as I said earlier, and vaccine or certainly events that can implement and go, you know, proper, you know, hygiene and follow CDC guidelines and all that. But events, as we know, are great motivators for travel. So when the time is right, again, to when you're planning your event for later this fall or into all next year, the grant cycle is from events through October through September 30th. So our grant cycle is open. So I encourage you on the visittallahassee.com grants resource page. You've got everything you need there. Updated guidelines in this COVID-19 world we're operating in. So go check that out. But again, do want to let you know that our grant cycle is open for events over the next year. So again, we're being optimistic, but regardless, all events must comply with CDC guidelines and follow good business and safety, you know, regulations. And certainly following the county's and the state's reopening plan. So does anybody else have any updates they would like to share? Okay, well, hearing none, again, I want to say thank you all very, very much again for joining us. Next week, we are going to hear from Harry Smith from Harry Smith Outdoors. He is an outfitter and takes great joy in showing other people the natural beauty Tallahassee and the region has to offer. Certainly, whether it's fishing, boating, hiking, paddling, camping, I mean, he's a big outdoor guy. So he's going to be talking about his business and his adaptations and kind of some things he sees for the fall. And also Autumn Calder with Blueprint. She is the director of the Blueprint Governmental Agency. They are the ones, as Daryl had mentioned earlier, that are responsible for the basically capital projects that are funded with the local penny tax. And so she's going to be sharing some updates, talking about a lot of the trails. Like they have all these trails planned. We were able to see some of that last week. Joe Petrosky and I and get a preview of, you know, a lot of their programs for trails and different placemaking in different areas around the community, be it Midtown, be it, you know, the Market District. So just a lot going on. So again, she's going to be sharing those updates with us. So as we know, again, if we're in very, very uncertain times right now, so be safe, be smart. There are brighter days ahead, I'm sure of it. So again, so we've just got to kind of buckle up and get through this. So again, please remember there's also a great need for and blood plasma. If you are a previous, you know, how a teen survivor, your plasma can help a lot of people. So if you are a survivor or know somebody that is, please ask them to consider donating. Again, that's really, really needed right now. Again, please continue to wear your mask in public places and indoors. Remember, it's not too much to mask. So then make sure you're hurricane ready. Remember, we got it this hurricane season. So again, make sure that you are protecting you and your family. So again, thank you all very much for being with us. And we'll see you next week. So have a great rest of your week. Thank you. Thank you, Russell. Thank you, Mark. Thank you, Daryl. Really do appreciate y'all being with us.